Well, good morning and welcome to Faith Assembly. Merry Christmas to everybody. Hope that you're having a wonderful time of preparation, getting ready for family and friends as we celebrate the birth of Jesus. This is our virtual Christmas morning service here at Faith, and we're glad that you can join us from all over the United States. Let's open up in prayer, and then we'll get going with some of the things that we have planned. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for this beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, that we can come together all across this country, all across this globe, really, to celebrate your birthday. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the light that has come to shine on this dark world. We pray, Lord, that as we gather here today, that you'd be glorified in everything that is said and done, and that you would be with us now as we celebrate your birth and your life in us. We love you, and we thank you so much for this time together. We pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Now, if you will, I'd like you to enjoy Josie Shear as she reads the Christmas story out of Luke chapter 2.
And it came to pass in those days, when there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went out to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out in the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child, and so that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth with her a firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And there shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with a great angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill be towards men. When it came to pass as the angels were gone away and from heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is now come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came without haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad what was told concerning this child. And all that they heard, it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
Thank you, Josie. That's one of my favorite scriptures in the entire Bible, the Christmas story found in Luke chapter 2. The Lord has directed me this week in our Christmas message to share with you a particular phrase that he dropped in my heart that's found in Isaiah, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. If you've ever been on a tour of Mammoth Cave in Kentucky, the guide will always stop and address the crowd by asking, Do you want to see what a real cave looks like? Thinking that he's going to take time to set a side trip that is different than the usual tour, everyone typically agrees. But without another word, the guide reaches over and shuts off all of the lights, making things pitch black in the whole cave. Then he says, That's what a real cave looks like. You know, caves can be scary places, especially when all the lights are out. And in total darkness of those moments when the guide cuts off the lights, many people begin to get a little edgy. In fact, if the light remains off for any length of time, some people can even begin to panic. Most people don't like sitting around in darkness. Even from an early age, we're fearful of darkness. That's why night lights are so popular in little children's bedrooms. That little 4-watt bulb is able to chase away just enough of the darkness from their rooms and bring a huge measure of comfort to the little one afraid of the dark. Even as we grow up, there is still an inborn fear of the dark. If you hear a strange noise in your house while it's in the middle of the afternoon, you might think, well, that's a little odd, and maybe hardly give it a second thought. But if you hear a strange sound in your totally darkened house in the middle of the night, you go and find out what's going on. In the middle of the night, darkness breeds fear. Darkness is uncomfortable. Darkness can be confusing. And at times, darkness can be terrifying. In Isaiah chapter 9, God talks about people living in such a darkness. They're uncomfortable. They're more than just a little confused, and they're seriously afraid for their future. If you back up a couple of chapters in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, Isaiah encourages us with this particular promise, which is a very familiar passage to all of us, that is spoken at Christmas time. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Isaiah then, a couple of chapters later in chapter 9, tells us where that child born of a virgin would minister. And that's where I would like for us to begin in our text today, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. "Nevertheless," he says, "there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan." I want you to notice what Isaiah says here. He says, the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. You think, what does that have to do with the Christmas message? Well, stay with me. Years before this prophecy, 10 of the tribes of Israel rebelled against their king and split off to form the new nation that was called Israel in the north, while the remaining two tribes in the south became known as the land of Judah. Zebulun and Naphtali were two of those 10 tribes in the new northern nation of Israel, but they were relatively insignificant tribes. They were rarely mentioned anywhere in the Old Testament and were never spoken of as really having any important role in pretty much anything. That is until God mentioned them here in Isaiah chapter 9. Remember, these are the only tribes in northern Israel that God included in connection with the coming Messiah. Why is that? Well, let's just think about this for just a moment. Where did Jesus live? Well, we know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, south of Jerusalem, in the land of Judah. But then Herod learned of the prophecy of a king being born in Bethlehem, and he wasn't happy. He saw this new king as a threat to his own throne, and he sought to kill him. But warned in a dream, Joseph and Mary fled with their child to Egypt, where they remained until King Herod died. With that threat to Jesus removed, the family returned to their home, but not their home in Bethlehem. Instead, they returned to the home that they'd left years before, their home in Nazareth, which was in the region of Galilee. Guess which tribes once inhabited the land of Galilee? That's right, Zebulun and Naphtali. So Matthew tells us that at the very beginning of his ministry, that Jesus left his hometown in Nazareth and went and lived in Capernaum. Follow with me in Matthew chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. I'm tying this all together, so stay with me because we're getting ready to come to a very exciting point here. Jesus went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. There they are again. To fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. And this is what Isaiah said. Again, we just read it. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You see, Galilee was the area once inhabited by Zebulun and Naphtali, those two tribes. When Jesus began his ministry, he resided in Capernaum, which was in Galilee. It was in Galilee that Jesus selected the majority of his 12 disciples. It was in Galilee that he spent most of his time preaching and teaching and performing various healings and miracles. Jesus literally brought the great light of his ministry to the people who lived in great darkness in the land that once had been inhabited by the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali. So first, we see Isaiah told us where this child born of a virgin would minister, there in Galilee, in Zebulun and Naphtali's area. But Isaiah didn't just stop there, because in our text, we see not only where he was living, but what he was going to do. And this is where it gets very exciting. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 and 3, as we continue with our text today. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. You see, in the day of Jesus, Galilee, the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, was considered a very dark land. It was kind of a backwater region where only the poor and the uneducated lived. It was not at all an enlightened area. When Peter and John spoke before the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4, they were amazed. The leaders of Judah were amazed because they were obviously, Peter and John, backwater, uneducated, unenlightened Galileans. They were unschooled, ordinary men, and yet they spoke with courage and with power. And we know why, because they had gone from great darkness to great light because they had been with Jesus. Galilee's reputation was such that when Philip told Nathanael that he'd found the Messiah, Nathanael exclaimed, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" But Jesus lived in this obscure part of Israel on purpose. He lived there so that he could drive home the point that his life was meant to shine a very powerful and hope-filled great light into a very dark world. During the ministry, that Jesus said in John 12:46, he says, "I have come into this world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." He also said in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." But what was this light meant to change in our lives? Well, Isaiah 9:2 tells us this. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. They lived in the land of the shadow of death. You know, death can be a very dark and scary prospect. But Jesus came into this world to bring the great light of his hope to a world afraid of the darkness of death. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 says it this way. "Since the children have flesh and blood, that's you and I, Jesus also shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death." I am so thankful that Jesus conquered death so we don't need to fear it, aren't you? But we live in the hope that we have in him of eternal life in heaven. Years ago, a Christmas card company put out a Christmas card with the title, "What If Christ Had Not Come?" It was founded on Jesus' words that he spoke as part of a larger phrase found in John 15:22, where he actually said, "If I had not come." Listen to this. Inside this card, there was told of a story of a preacher who had fallen asleep and dreamt of a world without Jesus. Imagine that. In his dream, he finds himself at home looking through his house. It's Christmas Day, but there is no stockings hung by the chimney, no bells ringing in the church steeple, no wreaths and no holly. There were no churches, no books in his library, or anything about Jesus that he could find. Suddenly, there was a knock on his door. A young man asked the preacher to come to his house. His mother was dying, and would the preacher have words of comfort for her? The preacher picked up his Bible, but when he opened it up to look for comforting scriptures, he noticed that the Bible ended in the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. There were no gospels, no promises, no hope. All he could do was bow his head and weep. 2 days later at the funeral, he had no words of comfort and hope because there was no consolation nor hope of heaven. You see, without Jesus, there is no great light to push back the darkness of death. The grave remains a final door from which there is no returning because no one has ever come back from the dead if Jesus wasn't who he said he was. But in 1 Corinthians 15:20, the Bible tells us that Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That's us. So Jesus sheds a powerful great light on our fear of the blackness of death. And for us, there is no longer any reason to fear. His great light has broken down the door of death and has freed us from its terrors. But his great light means more than just victory over the darkness of the grave. It also means Jesus will light up the very life that we live right now. Jesus explained it this way to his disciples in John 15:11. He says, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." You know, there's something about Jesus being inside of us, living in our hearts, that creates a wellspring of joy and hope and peace that nothing can take away. The Apostle Paul talks about it like this. He says, it's the peace that passes all understanding. You can't even explain it, but you know that you know that you know that it's there. It's a joy that no matter what we're going through, no matter what is going on in the world, no matter what our circumstances may be, we have an internal peace that steadies us, and produces an external joy based on the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. It's good news of great joy, which will be to all people. As we heard Josie read just a few moments ago, Luke chapter 2, verse 10, the angel said to the shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Isaiah 9, 3 says that that's what was promised with the coming Messiah. With his coming, it says in Isaiah 9:3 that he enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoiced before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. You know, there is joy. Joy is like the people who know there will be a harvest. They're assured that there will be food on the table, because they know that there's food in their pantry. And they also know their needs are going to be taken care of. They know that someone is there who will take care of them no matter what the circumstances may be around them. This great light from Jesus is a little like walking through a room you've never been in before. If you've walked in a room where there's no lights around, you might be anxious and uneasy. You don't know where the obstacles are and how the furniture is placed. You're not certain what might be there in the dark that would cause you to stumble and get hurt. But if the light's on, you walk with confidence and see exactly what you need to see. There's no longer any obstacles. There's no longer anything that can truly hurt you and cause you to be anxious and troubled. That's the kind of difference Jesus brings in our lives. We no longer walk in darkness with unease and anxiety. We no longer walk in those sort of things that would cause us to fear, like everything that's taken place in this year, 2020. Now, we walk in his great light, and our lives are completely different. With the great light God promised us in Isaiah, everything has changed. And that great light, his name is Jesus Christ, the baby born to us, the Savior of the world, his birthday that we celebrate every Christmas day. Jesus stepped into a world that was a dark and empty place. He came down in human form and allowed himself to be put to death for our sins. As Isaiah prophesied, the Messiah was to be called Emmanuel, God with us. God could simply have given us this owner's manual, this Bible that we have for our lives, the Bible, and say, follow these instructions. And it is the best instruction manual that mankind has ever possessed. But without God being with us, that book, that precious Bible that we so cherish, would be a dry set of do's and don'ts filled with wise advice and interesting stories. But our lives would lack the ultimate element that could change our lives and give us the great light that we need in a very dark world without Jesus being Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is the great light that illuminates all of our darkness. If we simply invite him into our hearts, I hope that you'll do that today. I hope that you'll invite Jesus to be that great light in the darkness in your life and let him shine the light on you this Christmas season. You see, it's his birthday that we celebrate this coming Friday, December the 25th. It is his great light that we depend upon to guide us, to give us hope now and beyond the grave. It's his great light that we depend on to give us joy regardless of our circumstances and to give us peace in our dark and anxious and anxiety-filled world. May we shine that great light out from us, and may we this holiday season share with others the hope that we have, the joy that we have, and the peace that we have in Jesus. You see, the people living in darkness have seen a great light, and his name is Jesus. Kelly and I want to wish you and all of your loved ones a very Merry Christmas. God bless you. And I want to close this time out with Amelia Ferreira singing a precious song, Happy Birthday, Jesus. And let's all say happy birthday to you, Jesus. God bless you.
Happy birthday, Jesus.